Welcome to The Daily Dose, where we are currently walking through an overview of the entire Bible. Join us today as we learn the story of Scripture and see God's redemptive plan through Christ from cover to cover. Let's listen to Matt Reister, Director of Christian Crusaders and the Cedar Falls Bible Conference.
Today we're going to be in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Here, Jesus is going to appear to his disciples after the resurrection yet again. Before we jump into this text, I want to thank the Family Leader for being our Daily Dose devotion sponsor. You can learn more about the Family Leader in the announcements at the end of this devotion. And as always, thank you to the Family Leader for their support. Chapter 21, verse 1. After this, that is, after Jesus appeared to Thomas and the disciples, which we covered in our previous text, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, that is, the Sea of Galilee, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, or Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that is, James and John being the writer of this gospel, also referred to as the one whom Jesus loved, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So we know that Simon Peter and his brother Andrew are fishermen, and we know the sons of Zebedee, James and John, were partners with him in that fishing business before they were called to be Jesus' disciples. And it was pretty normal at that time to go fish through the night because then you could sell a bunch of fresh fish in the morning. Verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Now, this is neither here nor there, but I couldn't help but think of the last time that Peter threw himself into the Sea of Galilee, or at least stepped out into it, when Jesus asked him to come walk on water, that account in Matthew chapter 14. And here you get a picture of Peter where he's kind of just throwing caution to the wind. He's going to quit working and throw on his outer garment and just jump in the sea. He's so excited that this is the Lord, this is Jesus on the shore. And there's something about this reckless abandon that I think anybody who's a follower of Christ ought to embrace at least to a degree. Following Christ, obeying his call in our lives, that can't always be this very carefully measured, calculated, weighed out thing. Sometimes you just got to go, drop what you're doing and jump in. And I love that image of Peter in this text. So Peter's in the sea coming to the shore. The others are in the boat dragging their haul of fish. Verse 9, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." Verse 11, so Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. So the way John describes this, this is obviously a miracle. They hadn't caught anything all night long. Then Jesus says, "Drop your nets on the right side of the boat. There'll be some fish there." They catch 153 of them. They're large, but their nets are not torn. So John seems to indicate that their nets are miraculously held together and that this catch is miraculous in its magnitude. We don't know exactly how Jesus accomplished this miracle. Did he just simply know that there was a school of fish that happened to be right there on the right side of their boat? Maybe. That if they threw their nets in, they would catch. Or did he supernaturally command 153 fish that weren't there previously to swim into their nets once they were dropped on the right side, which would not have been a big deal for Jesus. I mean, he commands the wind and the waves, as we know, from a different scene where they were on the Sea of Galilee during a storm. At any rate, there's no doubt John is suggesting that something supernatural happened here, and we shouldn't have a problem believing it. Remember that it's just not long ago that Jesus himself was dead and came back to life. This is small potatoes compared to that. As for the specificity of the number of fish, 153 fish, that's interesting to me. It jumped off the page, and I got to read you the study note from my ESV study Bible on that. I got a kick out of it. Here's what it says. Various attempts have been made to interpret the number 153 symbolically, but more likely, it simply represents the number of fish counted. So this study note is saying, don't read too much into 153. The reason it says 153 is because that's how many fish were there. It's no more complicated than that. We need to be careful when we're reading scripture that we don't try to read things into it that really aren't there. Verse 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. I think one of the reasons John includes this detail might be to simply contrast how their awareness of who was there on the shore had developed. At first, when they were out on the sea, they didn't know it was Jesus, is what the text said a few verses ago. But now they're so certain that it's Jesus that they don't even need to ask. Verse 13, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So we've got three accounts of Jesus revealing himself to the disciples after his resurrection. We've got another account of him revealing himself to Mary Magdalene in the garden just outside the tomb on Easter Sunday. And these are the four interactions that John includes between Jesus and people who he loved. It made me wonder, why these four? Why not more? Is this really enough testimony to convince somebody that Jesus rose from the dead? And then I remembered what we read in our previous text, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. That John acknowledges that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that aren't recorded in this book, but the ones that are recorded so that we may believe. And later on in chapter 21, verse 25, we're going to read that there are also many other things that Jesus did, and if all of them were written down, John supposes that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So why these four interactions and nothing else? I think it's because as John was writing this toward the end of the first century, in his mind, this was more than enough to convince anybody, many of them who would have had connections back to people who were actually there. This is more than enough to convince them that yes, Jesus was the Christ. Yes, he did rise from the dead. And the testimony of these four interactions with a broad number of people ought to be convincing. And mind you, this isn't the only evidence there is for Jesus' resurrection. There's all kinds of evidence, stuff that we're going to read later in scripture, things from history that we know about what happened with the disciples during the remainder of their lives. And we'll even draw some more insights from a couple texts that we have remaining in John 21 as we finish out this gospel. So I hope you'll come back for more next time. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
This is The Daily Dose, a podcast of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Please subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify podcasts, or download the free Christian Crusaders app and share with a friend. Also, prayerfully consider supporting our ministry at ChristianCrusaders.org, where you can find our weekly 30-minute radio broadcast airing on stations around the world since 1936, and where you can listen to our Conversations podcast featuring inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Special thanks to our Daily Dose sponsor, The Family Leader. God designed three social institutions, the family, the church, and government. At The Family Leader, they are bringing all three together, honoring God and blessing our neighbors. Learn how and join them at thefamilyleader.com. We also want to highlight another special ministry partner, the Cedar Falls Bible Conference. Check out conference videos and schedule of events online at cedarfallsbibleconference.com. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.